Good morning, church. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We appreciate you, O God, for the unique opportunity of being in your presence. Father, we ask that you speak with us. Give us the ears to hear you and the heart to obey. Let testimony follow our hearing and our actions in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please go with me very quickly to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 and 16. Verse 8 to 16 is what we will read. And I will take the message version. The message version. One day, Elisha passed through Shunem. A leading lady of the town talked him into stopping for a meal. And then it became his custom. Whenever he passed through, he stopped by for a meal. And then it became his custom. Chapter 9 says, I am certain, said the woman to her husband, that this man who stops by with us all the time is a holy man of God. Why don't we add a small room upstairs and furnish it with a bed and desk, chair and lamp, so that when he comes by, he can stay with us? Verse 11. And so it happened that the next time Elisha came by, he went to the room and lay down for a nap. Then he said to his servant Gehazi, tell the Shunammite woman I want to see her. He called her and she came to him. Through Gehazi, Elisha said, you've gone far beyond the call of duty in taking care of us. What can we do for you? Do you have a request we can bring to the king or to the commander of the army? She replied, nothing. I am secured and satisfied in my family. Elisha conferred with Gehazi. There's got to be something we can do for her. But what? Gehazi said, well, she has no son, and her husband is an old man. Verse 15, call her in, said Elisha. He called her, and she stood at the open door. Elisha said to her, this time next year, you are going to be nursing an infant son. Oh, my master. Oh, holy man, she said. Don't play games with me. Teasing me with soft fantasies. May God bless the reading of his words. You remember we are talking about friendship. A type of relationship. We're talking about your friends, not your acquaintances. We're talking your self-sacrificing friends, your personal persons. This is not talking about you and your spouse. So. It's not talking about marriage. That's a different institution that God has also created. And there has been several messages and discussions on that. This is talking about relationship between you and the persons in your network or in the institution. Last Sunday, we have established a few things, and I quickly want to remind you. We have established that it is God that created this system, and that it is for your need, and you need to build and rebuild it, to use it for your own blessing and your own growth. We've also established that that system is called the friendship bank or a network, and it can bring you wealth, it can bring you security, it can bring you joy, it can bring you happiness, it can make you grow in life, it can make you be able to wade through all challenges of life if it is strong. And it can be otherwise if it is weak or doesn't exist. We also establish that building this friendship requires a strategy. It requires some deliberate action. Updating your list of friends. We're likening this to the people that are on your phone book. We said you may need to add more, and you may need to remove. You may have to block some because it's not a valuable relationship. Finally, we talked about the composition of friends that are in your network. As you grow, we said the composition, the shape of that network will change. If you are in a growing age, it's supposed to be an inverted pyramid. More people ahead of you. Older people, more resourceful people, people who have achieved more, so that you can see them, relate to them, and they become your standard. If you are in the flying age, that should be the kind of composition. If you have arrived middle age and you are okay, then you may be operating in a cycle. You may be operating in a square. More people ahead of you, some in the same level with you, some below you. If you are in the older age, then it has to be a triangle. It has to be a pyramid. A lot more people below you. A lot more people that you will be looking down on and helping to bring up. A lot more people that you will be counseling and mentoring and assisting to grow. The benefit is not only for them, it's also for you. Because you need people around you at that age. Yorubas will say, Aye Ojen Simi, Osan Ju Aye Gbagbemi. Talk to older people, they like people around them. But you should be able to attract those kind of friendships. That was where we stopped. Today, we are going to look at, okay, if you now have such friendship, how do you nurture it? How do you maintain it? How do you manage it? Because it is in keeping that link and keeping that flow that you can then, just like my brother said, be able to withdraw from it. If you don't sustain it, if it's not long-lasting, if it doesn't remain strong, then of course you'll be weary to write the check to withdraw. You will not be able to. So today, the title of the short message is Nurture Your Friendship Bank. Nurture Your Friendship Bank. In the passage that we read, we saw it clearly. The Shunammite woman. The Bible says it's a leading lady in the society. Rich, secured, satisfied. She even said it. But she still created a friendship. She still created a friendship. She deposited in it, nurtured it, and was able to then harvest. She was able to then make withdrawal. She withdrew a great blessing. She got a son that all her wealth could not get for her. All her connection could not get for her. That gap in her life was fulfilled through that friendship. Even when the son was sick and died, she was also able to get the son back to life. She was able to pay premium in the insurance and get a life coverage for the son. That's a double portion. Got a son, got a life coverage. Proverbs 27:18 says, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruits. So he who waits on his master will be honored. See what it says there? Keep the fig tree. Means not only plant it, but water it, nurture it. You will definitely be able to keep and eat the fruit. So I pray for you today. You will eat the goodness of the land. I say you will eat the goodness of the land. You will be blessed. You will survive. You will be sufficient. And you will be significant. But you have to plant and nurture goodness to eat the fruit of the fig tree. So let's say, how do you maintain and manage a strong friendship? How? Sociologists would call it social skills. Say social skills. Social skills is the ability to interact positively and effectively with others. That's the instrument. Outside, particularly in the marketplace, social skills account for 80% of your chances of success. Technical skills account for only 20%. In the language of today's market, we say your technical skills will open the door for you, but your social skills will keep and sustain you in the market. You can go to Bodija Market with a big lorry of yams and tell them, I want to sell yam. Yeah, they will give you a space. You have what it takes. Okay, sell here. But how long you will stay in the market, whether you will sell or not, depends on how you are able to interact, relate to everyone, both buyers and other sellers. That's where the issue of social skills come in. And you need that to be able to strengthen and sustain your friendship to the point you can then be making withdrawals. Now, note two things. Effective social skill is driven by personality. My sister called it mindset. It's driven by who you are. That's why I like the fact that Brother Lumide said, please take good stock of who you are. Who are you? You can't give what you don't have. Your person, your attitude, which is inside of you, is what determines your person. That is extremely important. As an instrument to nurture a strong friendship, you need one, a do-good personality. Do good, not do bad. Do good. When you close your eyes, it's only goodness that you see. When you open your eyes, it's only goodness that you see. You see the beauty in almost everything and everyone. That's the Shunammite woman. This man comes around all the time. She doesn't say, oh, let him continue his work. He says, look, let's provide food. After eating for some time, let's even get a place for this person. That's a do-good personality. It's innate. It's inside. James 2:15-16. The Message version says, for instance, you came upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved, and you say, good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Where? What does that say about your person? That's what that passage is saying to you. We need a do-good personality. We need a forgiving personality. Where you empty your heart of malice and all kinds of filthy things, and you fill it with goodness, good news, beauty. So you forget. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So if all the time it's you bringing back old issues, you bringing back the past, you bringing back in your mind, you'll be clouded. You need a friendly personality. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. He must be kind. He must be passionate. He must be... I mean, people must see you and want to buy you. He must be polite. He must be compassionate. A pleasant person. It is only that kind of person that will attract friends. I pray that God will turn things around for you. Because you cannot continue to say, oh, I'm a private person. That's the way I was born. I don't know how to do all of this and I stay like that. No, no, no. That does not play in this system. Prayer can turn things around for you. Prayer can turn you into someone who will attract goodness. Who will attract great friends. Number two thing about social skills that I want you to keep in mind is that effective social skill is demonstrated by your behavior. So your actions matter. Your behavior matters. You should not only be good and friendly inside, and it is even difficult. The moment your inner mind, your inner person, your mindset, and your personality is a friendly one, it will show. But at times, there are some characteristics that we borrow. We see others doing, and we do. Such characteristics, such behaviors are not of someone who wants to exhibit good social skills to be able to invest in a friendship institution. Number one, stop complaining. Stop complaining. You end up destroying your self-esteem if you are the type that complains all the time. You are perceived by people and you are actually taken as someone that is easily irritated. And you only complain about everything. That does not help friendship. That does not help friendship. Number two, avoid criticism. Embrace constructive criticism. Avoid the negative one. Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. The Message version says, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same thing. You want the same treatment. The critical spirit has a way of boomeranging that is coming back. When you criticize, they will criticize you. I used to have a mate in UI. When we were doing PhD, he attends every seminar. He brings down everybody at seminar. He knows so much, he brings down everybody. So the day he was going to do his second seminar, which is the first final one, in fact, people came from other departments. And as soon as he entered, his leg was shaking. Because judgment has come. You are going to present. And you see, in academics, I mean, and people who have gone through that knows, you are not all in all. There will be a side you have not looked at, and people will take you on. But people who are friendly knows what to do. It's called constructive criticism. That is good. What you have presented is fine. What you are saying is okay. What you have done is okay. But we can improve on it this way. We can add more to it this way. That helps people. But, oh, I hate it. I don't like it. It's bullshit. It's not done that way. Who does that? That's negative criticism. And that leads to number three, easily. Avoid arguments. Avoid arguments. Practice acceptance. The Bible says anyone who engages in arguments is seen as proud, knowing nothing, and is envious. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. Proverbs 24 or 22, verse 24 and 25 says we should not associate with such people. We should not even relate with them. We should not go with them because it is likely to ensnare our soul. So no argument, because arguments often lead to people getting angry. I know someone, after a very hot argument, his body will be shaking. For the next 15 minutes, he cannot even make any constructive thing. His BP will go up. Why? On nothing. The next major good social skill is be a good listener. Be a good listener. Listen to understand and not to respond. And I want you to note that. If somebody is speaking to you, and after the first one or two words, you already started thinking of how you are going to respond, you are not a listener. The person may start slowly, may start even going wrong way, may eventually come to what he's saying, but you are no longer listening, because all you are thinking about is how you are going to respond. People are not going to like you. They are not going to stay in your friendship if they cannot pour their hearts to you. If they don't feel comfortable speaking with you. I mean, speaking freely with you. If God wants you to talk more and listen less, he will have given us all about 3 or 4 mouths and then give us one small ear. But because he did otherwise, it means he wants us to be able to listen. And people love those who listen to them. Proverbs 17, the Message version says, the one who knows much says little. An understanding person remains calm. Even dunce, and it says dunces, who keeps quiet, are taught to be wise. As long as they keep their mouth shut, they are smart. I'm not saying don't talk. But when I was discussing this with some my sons, and I'll put it that way, they were saying, does it mean when we are in a meeting, we should not talk? I'm saying, no, that's not the issue. You should talk. But talk after you have understood what is being said, and you can call me. I used to talk I mean, people note, oh, Folosho is there, ask for his view. He always has a view. But I learned my lesson several times when I keep talking and they say, that's not what we are saying. It seems your mind is not here. And then I knew I was already missing it. So when they asked me, Felicia, what's your view? At the beginning of a discussion, I say, I am still processing it. Because it is true. I am processing it. I am listening to everyone. And then by the time I come back to speak, I have picked up all the things and I speak from it. And they say, oh, that's it. I learned that after a very long bashing of people saying, mbolo wa kila anso kilo unso and worry on wiru. And that's what happens when you are not a good listener. Lastly, show gratitude. Show gratitude. Appreciate. Appreciate the goodness. Appreciate the kindness. Appreciate even the relationship. Appreciate the time somebody has given to you. Let the other person feel that the relationship has been valuable to you. Express it. Express it. You know, we all agree as Christians that gratitude works with God. So we say, praise God, worship God, give Him all the thanks, thank Him for what He has done, thank the one you see, the one you don't see. It also works with friends. It also works exceedingly with friends. Social media has almost killed all of this attitude of gratitude. Somebody gives you something, you just send one word, thanks. Gives you another thing, thanks. Then he won't give you again. My wife was counseling one of our mentees, and says, you only call me when it is time to ask for something. And it's very common. Gratitude is a good social skill. And I think it works with friendship. Give thanks, give appreciation, give encouragement to the giver so that he will give more. So I want you to note the following. Your attitude and your action determines your altitude. It determines where you will get to. It determines how you will grow. It determines your success. You need to build a strong friendship network around yourself as you grow through life. Why? Because it is God's creation. It is God's creation for your sustenance. So key to it. This is one of the power that the Bible said God will give for you to make wealth. He's not going to pour wealth to you, but He will give you some power. This is power of friendship. And it's a channel to success. You are not doing it with all of your heart. I don't like to have friends. You are not doing it the right way. Make conscious and huge sacrifice in your friendship. Remember, we are saying friendship is security. Friendship is a bank. Please bank wisely. In closing, brethren, let's read together Romans 12, verse 15 to 19. Again, the Message version. The Message version. 15 says, laugh with your happy friends when they are happy. Share tears when they are down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobody. Don't be the great somebody. Don't eat back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everyone. Don't insist on getting even. That is not for you to do. I will do the judging, says God. I will take care of it. God will take care of every difficulty in your life in Jesus' name. Let us pray. For what am you, Jesus? For
to mi o baba fowo to mi o Jesu wa fowo to mi o baba ke mi ma se da ba kono mo fowo to mi Baba, ke mi ma se ba, ba kono mo, fowo to mi o. Baba, God will touch you. God will create a new personality in you. God will create the heavens on your behalf. He will open the heavens on your behalf. It will give you a new vision. It will give you a new vista. The glory of God will shine in your life. Abundant blessing will flow in your life. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.